I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove from the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Settled all my fights from the past. Everything I knew would last. Settled all my strife with the knife and a gun. Murder bird is what I become.
Dana Alexandra is a pop singer and songwriter who is making quite a splash in central Pennsylvania and beyond. Her latest album, Wash Your Mouth Out, was recently listed in the top five local albums of 2011 by Helen Light at WXPN in Philadelphia. Dana was also featured at an XPN Free at Noon concert at the World Cafe Live back in September. While taking some time off from her busy performing schedule, I had a chance to chat with Dana about her transition from a solo acoustic singer-songwriter to a pop singer with a big sound, courtesy of Nashville producer Dustin Burnett. Well, joining me at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Dana Alexandra. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to Around the Woodstone.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. I've been digging into the record the last couple weeks, and it's infectious.
Thanks.
produced by Dustin Burnett. Mm-hmm. In Nashville, Tennessee. Can you tell me the story of how you came from being a solo singer-songwriter with an acoustic guitar and some backup bands every once in a while to this sound? Because this is a huge pop sound.
It's a big sound. Big shoes to fill, actually, because I didn't put my band together until after the record was made. Yeah, I played acoustic forever, and I still love playing acoustic. It was just something very raw and honest about playing acoustic shows.
Sure.
So it's exciting to me now when I actually break the songs from the record down to an acoustic setting, mm-hmm. and they just almost means, like, the meaning of them come out more, I think, when I play them acoustic. But I was an acoustic artist for a very long time, and I grew up in Stuartstown, Pennsylvania, and at the time could not wait to get out. I just wanted to go explore life. I remember being excited to pay rent for the first time. Like, that's weird. Who is excited for that? And I moved to Virginia Beach. Well, I went to Berklee College of Music for 1 year after high school in 2004 and then peaced out. And I was just like, I can't be tied down. And moved to Virginia Beach and lived with my friend Natalie Prass for a year and a half, I think. And then she wanted to move to Nashville, and I wanted to move to New York. So I moved home and saved money for about 6 months, moved to New York, and that's when I really started writing my own style of stuff, was when I was home in between that time period between Virginia Beach and New York. I felt like I found my style.
Yeah, what were you doing at Berklee? What was your...
Vocal performance.
Oh, okay.
And it's just kind of a BS major, I think. It's like, what am I going to do with that?
Yeah.
So that's why I left. And when I was in Virginia Beach, I was playing music with Natalie, and we were writing together, but I hadn't really written any songs that I had felt strong, like that were good. So when I moved home and started writing, I just couldn't believe that. I was like, oh, my gosh, all this time, and I finally found my own voice.
Yeah.
Like my own way of singing, my own style of writing lyrically, and I'm very influenced by blues and jazzy type sounds, and I like to apply that to like a more modern sound. So
sure.
So then I lived in New York and still didn't have a CD, but when I lived up there, I figured I should at least record something. So I recorded an acoustic album in 2 days in Baltimore. Just did all the guitar and then did all the vocals the next day. And just so I had something to hand to somebody, because I was coming across all sorts of people in New York. And
so you were playing out solo as just with a guitar?
Mm-hmm. And I never knew who I would run into, and I wanted to at least have something to give them.
Right.
And at that point, I still didn't really know what I wanted to be. Or, you know, I knew I was just me, but what is that? So Then I moved to Philadelphia, and my sound evolved even more. I just wasn't happy in any of the places I was living, apparently. Right. I just knew it wasn't the right spot for me. And then I really started to hone in on songwriting. And then I actually ended up just moving home because of my parents. I'm the only child, and I felt like I should be around for them. And my mom was having some health issues, and it was just the right move for me. So I moved home, and that's when I started getting really involved with the Central PA music scene.
Yeah.
And I was still acoustic at that point. Right. Then I met Dustin, Kingsfoil's producer, through Kingsfoil at Dewey Beach Music Conference.
Okay.
I remember hearing about Dustin, like, the second that I first heard what the stuff of what he pulled out of Kingsfoil.
I hear the screen all slamming, the air getting heavy. I'm as jumpy as a dog that was tied to the levees. But in the end, it's my heart that gives out when I'm ready to go. So give it up now. It's not worth
it. I was just like, oh my gosh, he just took every good quality about you guys and brought it to the forefront. Like, And then I remember looking at Jordan from Kingsfoil after I had heard their stuff and being like, do you think you could do that for me? Like, I don't mean to steal your producer, but this guy is awesome. Like, do you think that would be okay? And he was like, yeah, I'll introduce you at Dewey. So when we were both playing Dewey Beach Music Conference, met Dustin there, and it was kind of like a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
I played it cool, but I really did want to work with him.
Yeah, that's
cool. I kind of made him feel like at first that, like, let him chase me down a little bit. He was like, I'd really love to work with you. I'm like, uh-huh. That's cool. I mean, I really wanted to work with him, but...
Yeah, but you played it.
It took me forever to find the right producer.
Yeah.
Because I've had a lot of people approach me, and I just didn't feel like it was the right fit. Somebody paid it while she is
Well, the result of that relationship is wonderful.
Thanks.
Let's talk about that process a little bit, because I'm just imagining you having these songs on an acoustic guitar, you're out playing solo, and then here's this pop producer who I agree did really amazing things with Kingsfoil. So what was it like when you first sat down with Dustin and said, all right, here are my songs?
I actually went down over the course of a couple months to Nashville for long weekends, and I would play him just little ditties that I had on my GarageBand on my computer, and then I would play him other artists' songs, and I'd say, I think I kind of, like, I love this about this song, I love the synth in this song, and I like the feel of this song, and how can we create my own version of this, you know, like, I played him, like, I'm pretty sure I played him Kesha. I was like, I love Kesha's record. I just can't help it. It's so sugar pop, awesome.
Yeah.
Sleazy, good crap. I love it. But I would play him just random stuff on my computer, and if he really heard something that he liked, he'd be like, stop, we need to work on that. So we would just slowly start, he would start slowly building a track. We'd be like, well, this song could have that drum feel or this drum feel. And we would build a track in the studio at his home studio and kind of have demos and outlines of what we thought the song should sound like. And we'd finish writing it. And that kind of started the direction of where the album went.
So were you were writing together at that point?
Every song actually on my record is co-written with him, except for two of them. Ribbons and Bows and You Will or You Won't. I wrote on my own.
What was that like? I mean, had you written with other people prior to that?
It's very scary.
Yeah.
No, I haven't really written with that many other people. It's very scary because you have to be so vulnerable. And I just, it's very weird. You know, Dustin is not that old by any means, but he's like older than me, and he's a dude. So like, I'm like trying to, like, you know, I'm sharing all these like really girlish thoughts with him and feeling really judged. Even though he wasn't judging me. Maybe he was. But, you know, I'm just like, you're going to think I'm an idiot. Like, when you hear these personal thoughts of mine. And it was very scary at first.
Can you, is there a theme?
I felt like this record was very, very cleansing of myself. I'm like 50-50 split between like naughty and nice. I think like I won't put up with anybody's crap. I will though at the same time. And there have been times in the past where I have, and I think that's where some of these songs come from, of me being like, please stop doing this to me. And then there's other songs where I'm like, I'm not going to allow you to do this to me. I'm just going to stand up and say no. And I think the theme of the album is very much just being completely honest.
Yeah.
And just saying like, I have problems, you have problems, you wronged me and I screwed up too. Like, but I still, and then there's other songs where it's like, I really love you, but you're really annoying me right now. Like, please get it together. Like, it's just about being honest, I think.
I've always run with the underdog. I never pose as a threat. You never thought there would come a day that you would always regret. You're like a bump in the night. Your bike is worse than your bike. And try with all of your might, but you're not quite there. I more resemble a shark. My bite is worse than my bark. Ready, set, go on your mark. So you best.
Let's get into some of these songs.
Okay.
I Want the Radio Up, man. This is one of those songs that takes me back
to your 80s.
Yeah, to my well, it does. It's the summertime, you know, when you're a kid, when you don't have the responsibility that you have later in life. And
yeah,
I can't imagine how you could drive around with this song and not have the windows down all the way and the
synth sounds blasting.
Absolutely. It's winter, and so I don't do that right now. But it's just talk about writing this one and maybe how it was how it came together in the studio.
This song actually is kind of about the same situation that I was in this entire record, where you hear a lot of like trying to convince somebody to be with me in a way.
Yeah.
Which is totally pathetic. Don't do that. But yeah, I just feel like it was me kind of dealing with that type of situation, and the whole second verse is kind of about that, where it's just like my heart can get a bit lazy and lines can get a bit hazy, and you try to call me baby, but it's black and white, not maybe. And just kind of being sick of that situation and just kind of, you know, like when you get upset about something, you just kind of blast music. And
yeah, absolutely.
And that's exactly like what I was thinking when I was writing this. And when it comes to the synth sounds, we actually, when we were recording, this was the hardest track for Dustin and I actually on the record.
Really?
We were recording it, we were like, what are we going to do with this song? Like the other ones seem to fall into place more. And this one was just, had us both stumped. And we actually, when we went to record the vocals, realized that I totally did not have the second verse written. Like, I forgot to write it. We were so caught up in everything else. We were like, I walked upstairs and I was just like, oh, Dustin, I don't have the second verse written. Like, we're supposed to start in 10 minutes. And so we sat down, we wrote the second verse real quick. We were just like, let's focus here, you know?
Right.
And then that whole like, ooh, 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 ooh.
Yeah.
Actually, when we were recording, I stormed out, kind of getting frustrated with everything. And I remember walking back in and just being like, Dustin, we need an echo there. Like, we need something to kind of go, ooh, ooh, ooh. And he's like, okay. So we like figured, we were listening to like a million synth sounds really fast and trying to capture what I was hearing in my head. And then it just ended up being that really high-pitched sounding whistle type synth thing in the background. So it was the hardest song for sure to figure out what we wanted it to sound like.
Woke up on your floor in Brooklyn, opened up my eyes, took in life flooding through.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. My guest today is pop singer and songwriter Dana Alexandra.
Moving to where we started.
Okay.
Love song.
Yes.
A real love song kind of sneaks in. As
the
as
last song, actually, that we ended up writing for the record.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had nine songs, and I was just not satisfied with that. Just like, that is such an odd number.
Yeah, it feels like it's somewhere between the EP and the record.
Mm-hmm. You know? And 10 is still kind of a short record.
It is.
But it was as best as I could do for writing-wise. I just couldn't quite squeeze any more out of me. And where we started, actually, we wrote that last, and I just remember looking at all the songs that we had for the record before we actually went into the studio and thinking, okay, we have the sassy song. And we have the breakup song. We have the fun summer song. We have, we have the sad songs and the songs about life. And I just was like, we're missing a love song.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot to write about love. Like, I was writing about all these other things, which was funny because with this record, it was actually my goal to write about stuff besides love. Like, I felt like I was writing about love all the time, and I was just kind of like sappy love, you know.
Yeah.
I felt like I was writing sappy love songs all the time before this record, so I tried really hard to branch out and write about other things, you know, like friend situations, like when crap went down, like with the underdog, you know, like a
yeah.
situation went down and I needed to write about it. And where we started was just very easy to write, actually, because it was just straight from the heart about, like, I think I've chosen to love someone in my life right now that is not completely open to love sometimes. Like, they've just had it rough, and so it's not really like I'm here to convince them because they're with me and they're committed to me. It's just I wanted to write something about, you know, this perfect, unperfect love story.
Tell me you need it. Tell me you mean it. Tell me you want my heart. Make me believe it. Just open your blue eyes. Let me look inside. So I can see everything that you think you can still hide.
So Sugar and Spice is when the sass comes out, right?
Yes.
This is a sassy tune.
It is. And I've never stolen money, just so you know.
Yeah, I was like, I better watch myself.
I know. Like I said, I like to act out revenge in my head. So.
And in your songs.
And in my songs. So, yeah, Sugar and Spice is, like I said, it kind of matches my personality, too. Like, I'll love you honestly and loyally until the day I die, but don't screw me over, because I will plot my revenge. Don't do it. Just don't. Save yourself the hassle. Sugar and Spice, you know, it's about stealing money, finding somebody that's cheated on you and stealing money from them and running with it. And I kind of pulled from my past relationships with that one, because I haven't been cheated on in years, but it's
yeah.
happened. So...
Yeah. So you went back and...
I kind of pulled from, yeah, past experiences and kind of, you know, buried the hatchet with those, because I kind of felt like I said my piece in these songs.
Yeah.
Like Sugar and Spice.
That's cool to get it out that way.
That's what I feel like I very much cleansed myself on this record, because, I really... It wasn't just recent stuff that I was writing about. It was a lot of stuff.
Let me pour you a stiff drink. You can put up your feet.
I really love how after that, how you guys placed the order, how Spin kind of...
I put the tracks in order.
Yeah, that's it's great how the album just sort of smooths out at that point.
Yeah, it's like, all right, we've been extremely sassy up to this point. Let's be vulnerable for a second. That song is word for word true. I definitely did sleep four in a bed, like it says in the second verse. I just remember feeling like we had this big party, and this situation kind of summed up my overall feeling in Spin, which is, am I going to be like the only one? All right, when are you going to make me the only one? And when am I going to make myself? Am I going to choose to be the only one?
Yeah.
Or am I going to choose to leave? And we had this party, actually, my friends and I, and everybody slept over. It was Halloween, I think. And I ended up sleeping with the person that the song's about in the middle, with two girls on both sides. Like, we all shared a bed because there was nowhere else to sleep. We were drunk. Like, this is fun. Let's sleep in the same bed. And we're all, like, sleeping crammed in. Like, I'm, like, being spooned, and then I'm spooning someone else. And, like, I just remember thinking, this is just ridiculous. This is totally summing up how I feel right now. It's me with this other person and then two other people. Like, I'm still not the only one, you know? And I just remember thinking, like, that's the overall feeling of a song. And giving a lot of like symbolism to just a lot of waiting around like train stations and not being able to move because your shoes are tied together.
It really takes it's a departure from the pop sound. And
yeah. I kind of felt influenced a little bit by Feist on that one. I just felt like she's always influenced me. She's one of my Deserted Island CDs. Cool. And she's just very honest with her lyrics, and also just the whole feel of the song is, I feel like that's why it's so different. It's just kind of jazzier.
Yeah, definitely.
Like my heartbeat should be racing when the pace is moving too slow. Like two shoes tied at the laces when there's places that I need to go. Don't you know that I've been waiting? You know that I've been patient too, like a train stuck at a station, waiting and eager to move. Oh boy, you spin me around, I can't keep my feet on the ground. Oh boy, you're hurting my heart, I don't know.
See, I come alive in the summer.
Oh, you do? Like you?
I mean, I feel like every single season, I have a different side of me that comes out. Right now, I'm like winter. I'm very creative because
which is great because you can hibernate. Yeah, you can hibernate. You can
like there's nothing really when it's nice outside and it's just I just want to be outside. I don't want to be inside with my guitar. I just want to. It's kind of like my living period.
You want to play, yeah.
Yeah, I want to go outside and play. Yeah. And that's kind of what the summer song is all about.
Well, I think the reason for me that this stuff is intersecting is because those summer moments are my teenage moments.
Right.
You know, just out of high school or high school, and so
where summer actually meant summer.
Absolutely, and then you've got the music that sort of fits with that.
I feel like every summer I'm trying to crave that feeling of when summer actually meant summer.
Yeah.
Again. Because
it just doesn't anymore.
It doesn't. Like when you're in high school and you get out for summer, it's you're free.
Yeah.
You are free. I remember I didn't have anything to do like the entire summer. I didn't even have a job. Like I just like laid at my pool. I mean, it was like, granted, it was like above ground pool. It's not like anything super luxurious, but I mean, it was like, that's all I did all day.
Yeah.
And then at nighttime I went to the carnival. Like,
right.
It was awesome. And I remember just being like, you know what? I want to write a song about how much I love summer and that free feeling that I get from it. And I just kept thinking about when I go to the beach with my friends in the summer and that feeling of when you're driving down there. There's just nothing that beats that feeling when you're going on vacation. And I guess I live off of being spontaneous and feeling spontaneous. Those are the moments that really get me pumped up about life. Like, I would just, I'm that person that's just like, so it's going to be really good weather and we don't have anywhere to go tomorrow. Let's go to the beach. And nice. I just can't, like, I love it.
Yeah.
And it, like, bums me out when, like, other people aren't like that are around me. But
you're like, well, I kind of was going to mow the lawn.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know? When I imagine the summer, when I think back on when I was writing the summer song, I remember actually, like, sitting with my feet up on the console with my writing pad. And it was summer at the time, actually, when I was writing it. And I just kept thinking, like, it'd be so great right now to just completely just throw, like, two outfits in a bag and go. Like, leave your shoes. You're not going to need them.
Right.
Like, we're going to the beach. Right. So you don't need shoes. So let's just go. It's like, who can get ready the fastest? Let's go.
When it's fear that makes you hot.
A handful of Desert Island Discs.
Okay.
Yeah, give me a few records that that you can't live without.
Feist, Let It Die, for sure. And you know, I'm a sucker for good pop music, so I'm gonna have to say a good Kesha record to keep me entertained while I'm on the desert island.
All right.
You know, I gotta have a dance party while I'm there. Because sure. What I'm also gonna do? Feist to put me to wake me up in the morning. Feist to wake me up in the morning. Kesha to have a dance party, and that new Bon Iver album is pretty amazing for falling asleep. And maybe the Beach Boys for during the day when I'm out in the ocean.
You got it all planned out.
Absolutely. I love the Beach Boys. They're actually my cleaning music. They're great.
Great to clean? I don't know if I can get past Kingsfoil. At least not in that. The kids won't allow it.
Oh, you should just try and sneak it in.
Well, thank you so much for coming by tonight and talking about this great record.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I really, really appreciate it, and I've really enjoyed getting to know the story behind these songs. Good luck with everything.
Thanks. I know I talk a lot. Sorry.
Dana Alexandra is a pop singer from Central Pennsylvania. Her latest album, Wash Your Mouth Out, is available online and at all of Dana's shows. Visit our website, woodstovehouse.com, to link up with Dana and buy the record. And while you're there, you can check out past episodes, subscribe to the show, leave us some feedback, or drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help keep the show going. Around the Wood Stove is a production of the Wood Stove House. Find us on the web at woodstovehouse.com.
Nuh-uh.